Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to be able to share positive insights in living a longer and healthier life. Our first study today comes from Harvard School of Public Health. And they're saying that if you consume the omega-3 fatty acids, particularly the alpha-linolenic acid, the LA, a nutrient found in foods like flaxseed, walnuts, chia seeds, then you can help slow the progression of disease in patients with ALS. So that's according to Harvard Chang School of Public Health. So very simple. The more the omega-3 fatty acids, the slower the progression of the disease. Now another study, University of California at Irvine, that plant extracts used by indigenous people hold promise in treating ataxia. The University of California had a team of researchers who discovered that extracts from plants used by the Wakawu First Nation peoples in their traditional botanical medicine practices are able to rescue the function of ion channel proteins carrying mutations that cause human episodic ataxia. And by the way, the episodic ataxia is a movement disorder caused by inherited mutations in the human KCNA1 gene, which encodes KV1.1, a voltage-gated potassium channel essential for normal function of your nervous system. And so they found that compounds, these tannic acids, these gallic acids in these plants, are each able to rescue activity of the AE1-linked mutation carrying ion channel proteins. So quite simply, the plants were able to block this process. And the gallic, G-A-L-L-I-C acid in particular, is a powerful therapeutic benefit. So that can help people with ataxia have more normal gait and stop the slurring and the eye movement abnormalities, difficulty with balance and walking and tremors, and disruption of fine motor skills. So that's important. Just letting you know once again that instead of avoiding traditional botanical medicine, especially from the North American First Nation peoples, that they were doing things long ago, hundreds of years ago, that we are only now being able to confirm really do work. But that's also true for Ayurvedic medicine, for bush medicine. When I was down in the Caribbean, there were a group of healers called bush doctors, and they work with plants, they work with herbs, they work with minerals, and according to the people, they have a lot of good outcomes. So I took down a lot of their formulas, brought them back to the laboratory, and started researching what was the scientific basis of what they were using. And lo and behold, I found a lot of good science supporting it. Cedars Sinai Medical Center has an article in peer-reviewed journal Nature that the loss of a Y chromosome in men enables cancer to grow. Now, why is that important? Because as men age, some of their cells lose the very thing that makes them biological males, the Y chromosome. And this loss hampers the body's ability to fight cancer. And this was published in the top journal, Nature, and found that the loss of Y chromosome helps cancer cells evade the body's immune system. And this common impact of the aging process in men results in aggressive bladder cancer, but somehow also renders the disease more vulnerable and responsive to standard treatments called immune checkpoint inhibitors. So what are some of the things we should know beyond this? Well, in humans, each cell normally has one pair of sex chromosomes. Men have one X and one Y chromosome. Women have two X chromosomes. In men, loss of the Y chromosome has been observed in several cancer types, including up to 40% of bladder cancers. And loss of the Y chromosome also has been associated with heart disease and Alzheimer's. So they looked at two different groups of men, and they followed them and found that there's a big difference when you lose that Y chromosome. Now, this is what they don't talk about. right? And they should, but they're not there yet. Hopefully in time they will be. And that is the power of lifestyle in being able to hold your chromosomes in place and intact, to lengthen the lifespan of your stem cells. And we've been able to prove this. We actually have the science on it. And all of this science has been used in the protocols in our anti-aging study, which we're right in the middle of right now. We still have another 3 months to go. But we're able to find that people's physical body literally changes. Their brains change. Their heart conditions change. Elevated C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, triglycerides, all of which are bad. You don't want them elevated. We're brought down to the normal range. A person's PSA levels brought down to the normal range. How? No medicines were used. It's not a medical experiment. Rather, it's a lifestyle and behavior modification, observational clinical trial. And just simple things like switching from the pro-inflammatory process of living. And just imagine this. Think if you, and I said this the other day to a group of the people on the air, or on our conference call, who are in the anti-aging study, who are on campus. I said, try this for one day, just 24 hours. Don't lie about anything, under any conditions. Just tell the truth. Tell it calmly. Tell it dispassionately. But don't sugarcoat it. Don't avoid it. Don't evade it. Don't alter it. Just tell the truth. And one of the people listening said, well, that's going to be awful hard for me because I'm married and I can't tell my husband a lot of what I'm thinking and seeing because they're just causing argument. Maybe so. But if you live with the truth, you never have to worry where you buried the truth. We shouldn't live by lies. And right now, certainly a lot of people are living the truth, but probably half the entire country are not. And that's unfortunate. So if you tell the truth, almost everything we do in a given day is counterintuitive and counterproductive to our health, both mentally and physically, and certainly shortens the aging process. In fact, of the 50 leading First Nations of the world, we're dead last. We have the lowest life expectancy. We have the highest rate of drug deaths. We have the greatest number of suicides. We're the loneliest, and we're the most unhealthy. We have more obesity and more overweight. And it used to be if you were overweight, that was enough to motivate you to get healthy. Now, being overweight means nothing. Being obese means nothing. Being morbidly obese, yes. That's how far we've gone down the rabbit hole. So what did we find? I'll give you what my entire career took to find out and prove scientifically and clinically. Get off the pro-inflammatory lifestyle. Chronic stress is your number one cause of excessive oxidative stress. Because when you're stressed by anything, your anti-aging process slows down, your pro-aging process speeds up. You go from living a normal lifespan to a prematurely lived lifespan, and that's not good. So deal with stress, either through therapy or through meditation or yoga, but in some constructive, non-pharmaceutical manner. Secondly, live a life of meaning. Don't wake up and assume that your ritual, and I just spoke with someone yesterday, what'd you get done today? Well, the same as always. You know, I had to pay some bills and make breakfast and make lunch and make dinner. But what was important in your life today? We all have to do those things. That's like saying, what did you do today? Well, I ate and I went to the bathroom. Then I ate and I went to the bathroom. Then I ate and went to the bathroom. Okay, so what did you do for the other 23 and a half hours? And we've relegated our life to insignificance, to impulsively following the same patterns, rituals, observations every day, and expecting something better to happen. It won't. So live a life of meaning and purpose. Then be free to be yourself. Don't constantly be adjusting yourself, your language, your words. So in summary, live an authentic life. Live a life where you're free to be who you want to be, even if other people don't like who you are. One of the reasons that I believe that in part I've been able to live a life without all the stress, even though there's a lot of stressors in my life, I just contend with them. I deal with them. I just don't personalize it, is because I never tried to live a life to make other people proud of me and say, Gary was a good son. No, I'm just Gary. You know, I made stuff up as I went along. Wasn't skilled at it, so I mastered it. That's who I was. And we all start off at the beginning of a learning curve where we know nothing. But then we, one time, if we're disciplined and focus and care, and we incorporate this new knowledge process into the quality of our life, then we look forward to learning new things all the time. And that's what I think is important. Learning something new every day and applying it, doing it. Don't talk about it, do it. We become passive spectators to our own and everyone else's life. That causes stress. That causes boredom. That causes loneliness. That causes social disconnect. That causes apathy, depression, suicidal thoughts, or suicide. So just make your life meaningful in your own way. And then don't eat anything that doesn't honor your body and your organs. If you're eating something that's living food, alive, enzymatically rich, locally grown, hopefully, organic, hopefully, juicing, then you're stimulating a longer life for your stem cells. And that's a big deal. You're lengthening your telomeres if you exercise. That's also a big deal. So those are the techniques that we have to adjust to if we want to overcome preconditioned genetic predispositions. So if someone says, well, I'm going to go have both breasts removed, and I've had people tell me this, but your breasts are completely healthy. There's nothing wrong with them. I know, but I tested positive for the gene that predicts that you can get a predisposition to having breast cancer, and why not just get them removed now? Well, that's assuming that A, that test is 100% accurate, which it is not. B, it also presumes that there's nothing else you can do except wait for the inevitable day when breast cancer comes or the uterine cancer comes. And we have all this other lifestyle changes that can mitigate and wipe away any predisposition at the genetic level. But they don't hear that story because there's no profit in that. So everything is based upon controlling our actions, our behavior, until someone has total control over our lives. So, just saying, some steps you can take that can make a difference. Now, from the University of Massachusetts comes a study about, they looked at the comparing nutritional value of 612 plant-based and dairy-based yogurts. And this, they found that almond milk yogurt provided the most health benefits. Quote, plant-based yogurts overall have less total sugar, less sodium, and more fiber than dairy, but they have less protein, calcium, and potassium than dairy. But when looking at the overall nutrient density, comparing dairy yogurt to plant-based yogurt, with the nutrients we looked at, almond yogurt was a significantly higher nutrient density than dairy yogurt. Okay, all right, that's good. But why do I oppose that? Because I'm also looking at how much water it takes for almonds on an almond tree to come to full bearing. And that's not good. It's right up there with cotton. At a time when the western states, especially California, Arizona, they grow a lot of cotton in Arizona, they shouldn't be growing any cotton. Grow cotton where cotton grows, where there's a lot of moisture. And where you have adequate and abundant water, not where you're in a desert. And so, also, when was the last time you ate yogurt because you wanted to get your protein from yogurt? It's not what you get your protein from. You know, a can of beans and brown rice, you're getting plenty of, and nuts and seeds, you're getting plenty of a protein, plant-based protein. So the real reason that you eat yogurt, plant-based or non, is to get your probiotics. But how much probiotics are you getting? Read the labels. More often than not, they're not going to tell you. It is the exception that tells you. You might be getting, 100,000 probiotics. That's nothing. Even the millions, you have to get up to the billions. So why not just take a supplement? A simple, there are hundreds of different probiotic supplements. If that's the object of the exercise, simple. And also from Oregon State University, Syracuse University, and University of Tennessee, they found that just 10 minutes, a mindful practice each day, boost your brain as much as 45 minutes of extra sleep. Wow. So let's just say you took a 20-minute break. You've added 90 minutes on to extra sleep. So if you need a good night's sleep, stay healthy. But if you're constantly stressed because of work, the study suggests that 10 minutes of mindfulness exercises, like meditation, can help your brain recharge. It was done at all these universities and published in the Journal of Business Venturing. So mindful meditation, once again, does something, lowers the blood pressure, lowers the blood sugar, calms the heart rate, evens out the heartbeat. All these are good things. But now we see it helps with sleep. And finally, from the University of Queensland, which is in Australia, a common vegetable cures skin cancer. Yes, according to this study, there's an inexpensive, effective, safe cure for curing skin cancer that are banned by the mainstream medical monopoly and not publicized by the mainstream media. A relatively new remedy called BEC5, that is a spinoff from an Australian folk remedy for farm animals. It uses the photonutrients extracted from eggplants. Clinical trials and anecdotal testimonials confirm BEC5's efficacy and safety on basal cell and squamous cell cancers. Those are not your worst cancers, by the way. Melanoma is the worst. And melanoma is the least common but the most dangerous skin cancer with the highest death rate. It can metastasize into your internal organs. So the BEC5 doesn't make claims for melanoma thus far. So just something to help you with. And why would it work? Why a solution of vinegar and eggplant that extracts the same photonutrient glycosides and glycoalkaloids contained in BEC5 directly from the eggplant? The glycoalkaloids penetrate cancer cells selectively and destroy them, but normal cells are left alone. So just want to share that with you. And again, I'm not suggesting that they're saying that it cures. I haven't seen the clinical studies on this. Just want to share the latest with you. Something is out there. I'm sure now they're going to be doing clinical studies, and we'll have that shortly. That's the latest on health and healing. I have an interesting commentary I'm going to be reading, and I'd like you to do this. I'd like for you to tell us, of all the different topics you would like to hear guests speak on, tell me what they are. If you have a specific guest, let me know who they are, because I want to get a lot of good people on the air. Now, over the next 3 days, or it's going to take about 3 to 4 days, starting on Monday, the entire hour is going to be set aside to give you the latest comprehensive, in-depth information on smart meters, electromagnetic pollution that all of us are impacted with, the smartphones, the lies behind 5G, it's all going to be exposed. It's not editorialized, it's just good science, all of it footnoted. And this is for Robert Kennedy Jr. Why? Because I saw him in a discussion with Joe Rogan. It was a good interview. And because, mind you, they're banning him. The Democrat Party is banning Robert Kennedy because he could beat the president, and nobody wants to debate him because he'd win. But he asked him about Wi-Fi causing cancer, and he gave a very general, broad-based answer. That's normally not what he does. So I thought he probably doesn't have the statistics. So we went to work and we had provided all the statistics. And I'm going to share all this with you because all of us who are using any of these electrical devices, for example, I'm sitting here in my studio in Florida, and I have monitors, but I have a monitor meter that tells me if there's any electromagnetic pulses coming to my body. My feet, barefoot, are sitting on two pads. These pads neutralize the electric magnetic pulse that could otherwise harm my body. I have a monitor in front of me. Again, another source. But I have a hard telephone, and I don't have the cell phone, and so I'm in a safe environment. What do you think is happening when you're in a normal studio? Well, we take precautions, and there are ways you can help yourself, because you're not going to get the truth from mainstream media. So we'll give you that truth. So in any case, go to GaryNall.com for the latest on articles, investigative reports, essays, commentaries. And I'm going to start, as soon as I hire someone, as an archivist, film archivist, to be selecting over 200 lectures that I did. I finished them, each one. Many of you were at them because I got into a mindset that just my mind was on fire. And so twice a night, once at 7 and once at 9 o'clock, I would do an hour lecture in the studio at 83rd Street. And I did this for a month. That was 60 lectures just by itself. So now I'm going to bring those and a lot more that I've filmed that you haven't been made aware of up in as a public service. But I've got to hire someone for that. In any case, we'll be back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Now, I also thought that today would be a good day to share for those who were not able to come up to the Make America Healthy Again demonstration that we had in Kingston about 3 weeks ago, a chance to watch. You can go to purean.live, scroll down to archives, and then I'll watch it from there. But the rest of it can hear it. Either way, here's my presentation on Making America Healthy Again, Kingston, New York.
It's about making America healthy again. And the man that came up with that was who I greatly admire and one of the forerunners of health, fitness, and nutrition. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary Null.
Good season. Joe took his Valium this morning. How many people here from the radio show, my radio show? Hands. All right. About 80% of you. Good. I'm going to talk about two things. Two things that I believe we have to come to grips with now. And that is, first you show the bad news, how did we get here? But then you show the good news, how easy it is to get to a different place. I just came last night from completing what I hope will be the most important clinical study on not just slowing the aging process and reversing disease, but actually adding years to our life, which will be the first time scientifically from hard data, from DNA methylation test taken in the arm, blood chemistry. It's over 90 days on campus for 2 weeks, just finished last night. The changes in 2 weeks were astonishing, but then we got the blood work up from the last test, and we showed one guy added 5 years to his life. But everyone, including the people that didn't do anything, they were averaged in at 2.2 years. So the reality is we added about 5 years to a person's lifespan, healthy years. Now, how is that possible when we're losing in New York City 5 years over the last 3 years of our life expectancy, and of all the developed nations, we're dead last? Yet we have more hospitals, more doctors, nurses, more drugs taken, more scientists than any other country in the world working on disease. And we're spending $4 trillion this year. And that's because we've been propagandized. The number one culprit, the number one disadvantage you've had is you've trusted the people in power or authority. You've trusted the so-called experts. Biggest mistake we could make. because from early on in life, we believe what we're told. If there's someone who's gotten a position of responsibility and power, we think, well, that person wouldn't lie to me. What's the advantage of lying? Just tell me the truth. But they don't. And yet, coming up in the car, a good friend of mine, Steve Brown, and I were discussing this, and he is the opinion that most doctors and most of medicine is there purely for profit. And I said, but they didn't start that way, Steve. They started as idealists. Most dentists, doctors, in every profession, scientists start with an idea that they're going to take what they learn, a lot of discipline, a lot of time, and they're going to translate that into a better way of living. But they weren't taught that. And why weren't they taught that? Because way back at the beginning of the 20th century, there was one human being who caused, in the end, almost all the disease you see today. Indirectly. How did he do it? His name was John Rockefeller, Sr. And he decided, he was the wealthiest man in America, dwarfing anyone before him, including Andrew Carnegie. And he decided that there was a good use for all this petrochemicals that he was manufacturing. He was the oil business, Standard Oil of New Jersey. So he created, remember this, he alone created the entire pharmaceutical industry in the United States. But then there was a problem. What about all the medical schools, all the doctors, all the healing that was done? Homeopathy, naturopathy, natural hygiene, etc.
Flexner.
He got a man named Flexner. And Flexner was paid to prove that all those were unscientific. And so they came up with a term, alternative. So if you were anyone teaching alternative or practicing alternative was a quack, unscientific. And therefore, with Rockefeller University and Rockefeller Foundation, they began to put massive amounts of money in every medical school. Therefore, they controlled the curriculum. They controlled what was taught. They controlled the medical paradigms. Drugs first, surgery second, radiation third. And drugs dominated. So even the best-intentioned, idealistic doctors today believe that the only course, if you're an oncologist, is chemotherapy and radiation and surgery for cancer. But what if I showed you there were doctors such as Dr. Joseph Issels in Germany who had the highest independently confirmed cancer cure rate for terminal cancer, 16.6%. And he didn't use any of that. He used a combination of natural therapies. He was an orthodox surgeon, but he saw that that wasn't working. He tried something different and it worked. There were 9 other doctors around the United States, all board certified, all legitimate, and they were fine until word got out that they were not using the standard care. And then all the state medical boards went against any doctor who didn't follow the line. This is the only thing you can approach a disease with. And therefore, they started arresting doctors, putting doctors in prison, not because they hurt their patients, to the contrary. In one case of a doctor privateer, James Privateer in California, he was in doing hard time on a chain gang when his wife came to see me in 1975. And we managed to get him out of prison because he had done nothing more than help his patients who got orthodox therapy. They got cancer, they got chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, but then their immune systems were collapsed. He rebuilt their immune systems. They all came to testify on his behalf. The judge had to tell, no, you're being charged with, did you follow scientific standards? And the answer was, no, I did something else. Well, then you're guilty. And even though they were reluctant in convicting him. They had to convict him. And those laws are still applied today, except if you get permission from your doctor to use an alternative therapy. But we had to fight for years to stop that kind of Stalinism in medicine. Well, it still exists. Look at COVID. If you came out on the right side as an orthodox, board-certified, pro-vaccine physician and said there's a problem here, it doesn't meet any of the scientific standards, what you're telling us, it's wrong, you were criticized. Dr. Jensen lost his license. Dr. Cole, again, and all these doctors, Dr. Pierre Corey, they were all great doctors. In fact, one of the doctors, Dr. McCullough, is the most cited cardiologist, nephrologist in world history in the Library of Medicine. Professor of Medicine, sits on the medical board, didn't matter. They got rid of all of them. They destroyed them. How can you destroy people who have truth on their side? By controlling the media. Therefore, we believe the media. We believe whatever they told us. Why did we believe the media? Because we are ideologically referenced to be balkanized. You're either conservative or you're liberal. Both of those are worthless terms. They shouldn't be used. Democrat, Republican shouldn't be used. The only term should be used in referencing anything in life is who has power and who doesn't. Because if you don't have power, you're the prey. And they're the predators. Just use common sense. Back in the 1970s, two women from Boston came to me and said, Gary, can you help us? How? Because every ad on Saturday morning television is for some form of sugar-coated cereal, and parents are allowing them to eat that stuff, and they're getting obese and diabetes. And I said, sure. Okay, we started a campaign. They were the ones who brought it forward, and other doctors joined, but only a tiny amount of doctors. And this gets to another issue. If you have a more or less 900,000 doctors, and they're all exposed to the same orthodox literature, they read the New England Journal of Medicine, or if they have time, and they practice what that journal says is good science. But then Dr. Angell, 22 years head of the New England Journal of Medicine, is the editor-in-chief, now professor, I believe, at Harvard, she wrote a book on it. She said over 67% of the studies in peer-reviewed journals cannot be replicated. Well, the whole basis of good science is replication. If I say I can do something, like my scientific study I just finished, and this is the sixth in a row, I should be able to hand you that protocol, you follow the protocol, and come up with the same or similar results. But you can't. Therefore, well, how's this happening? How are peer-reviewed journals publishing bad science? How are doctors then practicing bad medicine? No doctor wakes up in the morning and wants to give you a chemotherapy where the likelihood of you dying from the chemotherapy or the radiation, even in rebound, is so high, they don't want to hurt you. But the outcome is going to be they're going to hurt you. In fact, the number one cause of death for years is iatrogenesis or doctor or medically induced disease. The AMA says it's number three. And as my friend Steve said coming up, yeah, they think, great, we're number three. We're way down the list. We're only killing 600,000 Americans a year. Mind you, 600,000 minimum and up to a 900,000 maximum are dying because of medical mistakes, and yet they won't change a single one of those mistakes. There's no meeting anywhere in the world to say, you know, we're screwing up. We've got all the money, all the technology, all the science. Why are we killing so many patients? And not a single comment in a single magazine or newspaper or journalist will have the courage to say, because we're following the wrong paradigm. Well, who controls the paradigm? The big money makers, the people who want to make money no matter what the consequence. And it's never someone from the government. It's never someone from industry that comes forward, with the exception of whistleblowers, and says, these guys are committing crimes against humanity. And even when they're caught with Vioxx killing a minimum of 60,000 Americans, a maximum of 500,000, they're given a fine, but all their profit of over $8 billion from $12 billion they made, they were allowed to keep, and the stock went up in the company the next day. How is it that you can kill 60,000 Americans and get a raise, get a bonus? How is that possible? Because you control science. Science is for sale. The media is captured. Industry is captured. Absolutely. Everything is captured. And then you get in line thinking, I'll take my ticket to get my vaccine. I'll take my ticket so that my kid can watch those sugar-coated cereal snacks, can eat like everything you see. You don't see a normal meal. You never see a healthy meal. You've never seen an ad for Sprout salad, right? I'd like to see an ad for Sprout salad once. And then I'd like to see a truth in advertising. So you come out and you say, looky here, we're giving you glazed donuts, true story, you've all seen this, with fried chicken. The buns are glazed donuts. Everything is pro-inflammatory, which is the primary cause of all disease, inflammation. So what if, and then they have the hamburger. We don't need to give you a hamburger, we give you a hamburger with sausage. Isn't that meat? Yeah, but it's a different type. No, one comes from beef, one comes pork, but they're both going to be heterozygous gay means causing cancer. Don't talk about that. So what if we had on a split page saying, this bun causes cancer. Anytime anything goes brown, french fries, potato chips, pretzels, it's acrylamides causing disease. This meat, how much meat do you need? You only need one forkful of meat to meet your daily requirements of protein. One forkful. So go into a restaurant and say, give me that one forkful of meat. No. someone would tear down the restaurant if they gave you one forkful. No, they give you enough meat for 6 days. Well, you can't store it, so it goes into your body and causes disease. So the cause of disease is easy. Don't be lied to. It is eating more than what your body can handle, not engaging in fasting, not juicing, drinking carbonated beverages and caffeine and alcohol, and then causing so much inflammation from the sugar you're eating, which suppresses your immune system, to the fried foods that congestion your intestine, causing colorectal cancer and other itises. So your body is always on inflammation status. And nothing is healthy that you put into the 93% of Americans' diets. Nothing. How could they do that? How could you eat yourself to death? Because you're not eating because of health. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, I want my French fries, and I want a lot of them. I want a lot of salt on there, and I don't care about my blood pressure. Don't care about my edema. Don't care about my diabetic neuropathy. Don't care about my diabetes. Don't care about my fasting blood sugar. I care about how I feel after I eat it. And look at all the other people. They're smiling and eating and stuffing themselves. And when we get really morbidly obese, we'll simply say, we love our fat. We love it. Just be honest. If you're honest, you're always allowing the truth to enlighten you, to expand your consciousness. If we just told the truth about everything, we'd be totally healthy as a nation. Our kids wouldn't have diabetes. We wouldn't have more obesity per population in any country in the world. We wouldn't be believing our doctor to tell us about health. Pathology is their profession. Know your disease, but then know all the ways of treating it, not just one limited way. Now, you've heard Eutrice Leet on my radio show, right? About all the diseases she had, that all of her oncologists and doctors and nephrologists couldn't help. Well, she's free of disease today. You think I get a single call from a single doctor?
Never.
Eight diseases. Eight. Lung cancer, diabetic neuropathy, high blood pressure, tachycardia, 277 pounds. As of this morning, we were talking to her on the way up here. And I put her on speakerphone for Dr. Elmar Gadol, America's number one holistic dentist, is here. She brought us up. Any of you have been to Elmira? Elmira, did any of your oncologists and cardiologists and internists, did any of them suggest that maybe you could deal with all these diseases by a healthy diet? Not one. Just medicines. Well, without medicines, she's okay now, and no one's going to pay attention to that. And all the other people who've done a healthy lifestyle, no one's going to pay attention. They just care about the medicine, and the people that own the hospitals and own the doctor's offices care about the profit. So that's why you're paying an astronomical amount, the number one cause of bankruptcy this year, medical bills. What does that tell us when we're supposed to be a compassionate nation, people who care about one another? Let me tell you how much of a problem we have. How many people in here couldn't write a check for $2,000? Okay. Well, over 100 million Americans couldn't. All right? Now, if you can't write a check to pay your bills and you're living off your credit cards and you miss a payment or you can't make a full payment, suddenly the government shows what they think of you. Your interest rates go up. So you're poor enough as it is.
Make it harder.
But make it real hard. Thank you. Make it even harder to pay your bills. Profit off pain. Profit off suffering. Profit off poverty. We don't have a war on poverty. We have a profit on poverty. Otherwise, we would do the following. And this brings me to something else. So being healthy is simple. Fast between dinner and breakfast. Don't put anything in your body that causes inflammation. Put healthy grains and nuts and seeds and legumes and beans and juices and salads galore and starchy vegetables, what you can buy at the farmer's market and wherever possible, organic and locally grown. Exercise 10,000 steps a day minimum. And think positive thoughts. Get out of this sense of helplessness that somehow they have the power. Power is an illusion. The moment an expose occurs, the moment a whistleblower comes forward, the moment the truth comes out, and suddenly we've been lied to about everything, then suddenly that person loses their power because we no longer give them our power. Remember, nobody has power until you give it to them. So take back your power from everyone in authority. I put no one before me when it comes to what I know and what I don't know. And I don't want someone to tell me what I should know because what I should know may not be good for me, but good for them. Because look at all the people who profit off our pain, profit off our disease, profit off our abandoned children. What have they done? I don't care, Democrat or Republican, they're all Now, I've got something for Robert Kennedy here, and Dennis Kucinich, his campaign manager. I'm going to share something with you now. This is just something I thought you and I could share together. Maybe they might find something of value in it, but if they don't, they're not getting my vote. If they do, they could get my vote. But they got to be sincere, because every politician kisses your baby, eats your crappy donuts, says, I'm going to be back, and you never see him again. Right? So here's what I believe we need to stop the disease in America, because the disease is not simply a pathology. That's the end stage of a process. You don't get cancer overnight. You don't have a heart attack from eating one hamburger. You don't get cirrhosis of the liver by drinking one glass of alcohol. You don't get upset and die because of one incident. It's the constant progression. Here's some things, and you tell me whether or not you think this would make America healthy again, because we have to have a healthy attitude. Stop allowing them to balkanize us by race, by identity politics, by wokeism, by class. When was the last time you found an average working person invited to sit on a committee at the White House? Never. You find these jerks who have no experience, zero. There's not a single person who's trained to be president. They're selected to be president, and the people who know what they want when you become president pull in all their sycophants, technocrats from industry to run the government. And none of them have a single whit of humanity, because they're not coming from a spiritual place. They're not coming from humanity. They're not coming from decency and ethics and morality. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. Just look at this shift in power. So stop telling them it's about women versus men. There's never a war on men and women. It's a war from power to men and women. You can only condition a person the wrong way if a person chooses to be conditioned the wrong way. Because what also is happening to that person is all of us are born with one gift that you cannot deny. That's intuition. And as long as you're willing to use your intuition, something is going to tell you, validate before you trust. Yeah. And we don't. And then how many times we made the wrong decisions, wake up one day and say, damn, I shouldn't have done that. I went through all those red lights in life. That was not the right relationship for me. That was not the right political party to support. That was not the right way to feed my kids or myself. That was not the right television program, internet to watch. We got to pull ourselves away from all these things that addict us. We're a nation of addicts. And what's the number one addiction? Comfort. If you can't get out of your comfort zone, you're never going to change. Get out of your damn comfort zones. Get off your ass and do something. Don't talk it, walk it. I want to see people say, I'm ready to pull off. Say no to Wikipedia. Say no to NBC, ABC, Rachel Maddow. Say no to these people who are all a part of the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical complex, the ideological complex, the financial complex, the agriculture complex, because none of them appreciate the fact that nothing in their life, I don't care if you're the richest man in the world, if you're Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, that I've yet to see any of those dancing clowns say, thank you for growing our food. Thank you for making that shirt, those shoes, those eyeglasses. Thank you for making these buildings, putting this mortar together, the glass. Everything in your life comes from the average person. There's nothing in your life that doesn't come from a hardworking person that gets no credit for everything, is the first to be demeaned, and is a deplorable, according to Hillary Clinton. Like she's a model of virtue? Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, I'm not afraid of the truth. I'm terrified of the lie.
Yes.
Because the truth has good consequences. You know what you're dealing with and you have some options. You have some freedoms to make a choice. The lie, you don't. We've been lied to at every issue of life by everyone. So if Robert Kennedy is going to get your vote and my vote, let him do this. On day one, let him announce that if he's elected, he will pardon every whistleblower for the last 50 years. Number two, in the closest park to the Justice Department, build a monument of every whistleblower, and then so we have a whistleblower's park to show who the real heroes in America are, and they're not in the government. than giving back every whistleblower all the money they lost through litigation and lost wages to make them whole. And then they should go into every curriculum about the true heroes are the ones who see corruption, identify corruption, risk their life and everything else to expose that. And the government says, okay, rewards those who are corrupt and puts the whistleblower in prison. What kind of nation is that?
A tyrannical one.
I mean, how does the Democratic Party sleep at night knowing that heroes, have now become the villain?
Yeah.
Next, let's have a Marshall Plan to rebuild all of the cities in America, every ghetto in America, bring down the military-industrial complex of what is needed, and that would leave us about $500 billion, and put that into bringing factories and work at a living wage, not a minimum wage, to every community in the United States. We have the money to do it. We have the skill to do it. And boy, we could use a lot of rebuilding in every city. And that would bring people back together, bring families back together, get people out of poverty. And we have refused to do it. Next, no one should have to go to a hospital like my friend, have a stomach ache, sits there for 3 hours in the emergency room. They give him a simple saline solution, salt water, which costs about $1 to make, and charge him $10,000. True story. No one should be charged tens of thousands of dollars for a simple procedure. But until you have universal health care, that's going to happen. Universal health care for everyone. And then fire all of the insurance company middle management people. Get them the hell out of our lives. They don't help a single person live. Then never again bail out any major bank. Let them fail. Now think of it. Think of it. It's just truth and common sense. We had all the banks fail in 2008. We bailed out the banks who made the mistakes by liar's loans, and we didn't help a single person. Obama and the Senate and House could have together had a resolution to put a moratorium on home foreclosures. They could have kept every one of 25 million Americans in their home and kept 7 million homes from being foreclosed on. They chose not to help any of the people who were victimized. They helped the people who perpetrated that. Never allow that to happen again. Put a moratorium on that. Also, make enough money in this country. Take it away from bureaucracies. Half of our governments, state, local, and federal, could be brought down to a level and put that into feeding programs so we don't have 16 million hungry children. It's a shame when 16 million children go hungry and we're feeding Ukraine into their kleptocracy $115 billion. How's that legitimate? How's it legitimate that we have hundreds of thousands of homeless vets? Where were those politicians when it came time to put them into war and say how heroic was, and now they've got no legs, they've got no arm, and it takes a private foundation to embarrass the government, but this government says, no, if you get hurt, we're gonna take care of you. And they don't. The whole system's corrupt top to bottom. Deconstruct the FBI in its entirety. Now, I realize that's going to be embarrassing for the first three Roswell FBI agents in undercover. Pricks, we see you. I can tell by your haircut and your socks. And rebuild the police system that we need that actually goes after criminals, including white-collar criminals, corporate criminals, and stop this idea of harassing innocent people who show up at school board meetings because they don't want their four-year-old taught pornography. Yeah. And shame on the Democrats in power who said that was okay. It's not okay.
What about the Republicans? Why don't you ever call them out?
If you've listened to my show, then you have heard me say, I don't challenge Republicans because what is so evidently corrupt in them is beyond imagination. So I don't trust Republicans or Democrats. Didn't you hear what I said, sir?
That's the fact. They're both.
I don't trust either. I don't vote for either. I voted for Ralph Nader and Ralph Nader and Ralph Nader and Jill Stein and Rocky Anderson. So when I say someone's corrupt and they're all corrupt, I'm not leaving anyone out.
Right.
I'm not leaving the political process out. Also, next, ban all corporate and PAC money from elections. Don't allow any rich person. Don't allow George Soros or any of the other billionaires, left or right, control any election ever again.
That's right.
Because we don't have one citizen, one vote. We have whoever's got the most money wins. So what if we had a lottery? So a plumber, a police officer, a store clerk could run for an office. That's what we should be doing. So we bring it back, the power to the people. And by the way, don't think you're not qualified, because not a single person in any office of the government is qualified. If they were, we wouldn't have a $32 trillion debt just the federal level, or be $221 trillion total in debt. And if these corporate geniuses are so smart, why do they have $25 trillion in debt? What happens when one bank fails and they get $100 trillion in derivatives? We should outlaw derivatives. We should outlaw credit default swap. We should outlaw naked shorts. We should outlaw manipulating trading in any commodity essential to life. We shouldn't have someone that doesn't own a farm, never buys a seed, never handles a plow, control the farmer's life. No more subsidies to big agriculture. No more subsidies to Monsanto. And when a corporation is found to have intentionally, any corporation, to have known the truth about a product they give us and then hid that, those people should all be going to jail. I'm talking about the entire board of directors, the officers, the scientists. Everyone who participated or knew there was a crime being committed should be in prison for the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
Fauci? Oh, God. Now, a few more things I want to think that we should do. I want to reverse Trump's opening with the Republicans of public lands to private interests and implement a moratorium on private exploration of national parks, fossil fuels, mining, and lumber. No more. Also, I want to create a national food program to ensure that every community is able to feed its hungry. I want to create a moratorium on the Federal Reserve for giving no-interest loans to banks and corporations. I want every bank to have no more than 5 times loan out to their reserve currencies. I want to eliminate 100% payday loans and credit card interest rates and all late fees above 18%. No interest rate should be more than 2%, because that's a 200% profit that the companies are making when they got the money for nothing. I want every medication that is used in America, the corporations that made it good, let them have a 300% profit. Right now, some of those drugs, the cost of a generic supply for 30 days versus what they profit as is 3 to 5 to 10 to 15,000% profit. Take the profit, excess profit, out of all medications. Do not allow any more subsidies to any fossil fuel industry. And start the exploration of natural. How do we save America, our economy? Because it's going to collapse. It already has been exceeded 5 weeks ago by Russia. Wait till the BRICS nations, which now have all these other countries coming on to Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Now Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Argentina, all these, Mexico. All these countries are joining BRICS, so within, I believe, the next 12 months, or a little longer, their gross domestic product will exceed the United States. The day you read the United States no longer is the leader with its currency, watch how that tips everything attached to cash go down. Also, do not accept a cashless society.
Yeah, no way!
Take your money out of their banks. Tear up their credit cards. Go to credit unions, but check the credit union, making sure that you check to see what is your total deposits, what are your loans, what is your reserve currency. And if they say, oh, we're good, we have $1 billion in reserve currency, and we have $1 billion in current deposits, but we have $5 billion in outstanding credit. That's not good. Find those that are solvent and put your money there. Put it in gold, silver, and things you're going to need for the future, because when the dollar drops, everything attached to the dollar, meaning the cost of everything, is going to go up exponentially. And people are exploiting this. Remember, the company the company may say, well, we've got to raise our profit margins or we can't exceed, you know, we'll go out of business. Who owns the companies? Find out who actually owns the majority of shares in a company, and that's who's controlling that company's policies. So let's start decentralizing power. Bring it back to the states.
Yes.
And move to those states that are not draconian and not aligned with the special interest. Unfortunately, New York is not one of those states. We're becoming more and more draconian. We have such a perversion of freedom in this country and in the here. But Florida, Texas, South Dakota, there are about 20 states where they're refusing to mandate and they're refusing to go to a strictly currency like Europe. Right now, the European Union is all digital currency. You can only go up to $1,000. But beyond that $1,000, you could go to jail. You don't want to live in that kind of environment, no matter what they tell you. And let's have a special panel of people like John Whitehead, one of the three, in my opinion, one of the three finest constitutional lawyers. Danny Sheehan's right up there also. And one other person, you see him on television sometime. Have you, who?
Judge
no. No. He's not a lawyer, huh? Huh? No. Oh, you missed George Washington University professor? Come on. Jonathan Turley. Because you got difference of opinion, but these are great minds that tell the truth. You should have a panel to go through all federal laws and start writing off the laws we don't need. We have 90% of our laws we don't need. A lawmaker is not just to go in there and pass laws based upon who gives them money. Follow the money trail. All right? If you follow the money trail, you come back to the same corporate interest and the same political interest, and we've got to say no more to that. Don't use their credit cards. Don't watch their television. Don't read the New York Times. One, you can use the New York Times if you live in New York City to take it out to pick up the poop from the dog. But otherwise, stop trusting people you've trusted, because that's why you're sick, that's why America's sick, and that's how we're going to take back our health. Thank you all very much.
Okay, hopefully you found some interest in that. And again, I want to thank the thousands of you who took all day. What a trip. That will be the last trip we'll be doing to Kingston. We've done 5 trips up to Kingston. They've all been supported. We've had thousands of people there. But as I told Gerald Salante, we've got to take the message to where the people live. Take it to Newark. Take it to Camden, New Jersey. Take it to the inner cities, the boroughs, and address the issues there. And I think we'd get a much bigger turnout. And these are activists who came. They came to make changes, and I thank them for that. Remember, we're stronger together. Do not let people divide us based upon ethnicity or culture or race or our age. Don't allow that. They have an agenda. We have an agenda too. And that agenda is living longer, healthier, and happier lives together. Thank you all for listening today. We'll get to Paglia's video tomorrow, along with Richard Gale, who's going to tell us what we now know about the RNA vaccines that you didn't know when you got them injected into your body. And this will give you a big heads up. All right? Now, stay tuned for your Trees Lead.